Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Transfiguration story is one of those stories that I think we latch onto. It's one of those stories where we get to see a little magic, a little bit of the divinity of God and of Jesus. There, Jesus took Peter and James and John, and they went up to the mountain to pray. And then this incredible sight happened. Peter and James and John looked up, and suddenly they saw Moses and Elijah standing with Jesus, and everybody was glowing. Sometimes that's the image that we hold on to of Christ. The fantastic, the powerful. But I'm not sure it's the point of the story. Thank you for reading unbidden the part that I'm preaching on. In the lectionary, it'll say Luke 9, 28 through 36, and then there's in brackets 37 through 43, which in Lutheran world means this is optional, you don't have to read it. But I think if you didn't read it, you'd miss what the Transfiguration is all about. You remember how the story went as Jesus came down, you know, they looked up and there was this great cloud that came over, and as they entered the cloud, they were afraid. And just as the men left them, Peter wanted to build tents, he wanted to keep it all there, and a cloud came over and said, "This is my son." And then I love this. Listen to him. Listen to him. And then they were alone. The very next thing that happens in the Gospel of Luke, after they have come down from the mountain, is a healing. And this is where I think the veil begins to get lifted. I think the Transfiguration, in a way, helps us to understand Christ in one particular way as this sort of otherness. But I think Luke's real point comes in the 37th verse, when Jesus comes down from the mountain and a man yells out from the crowd, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son." And a spirit seems to take hold of him, and he shrieks and falls down, and it mauls him and won't leave him alone. And then he says, "I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they weren't able." And then in one of my favorite lines in Scripture, because it puts the lie to the nice Jesus, and everybody likes Jesus to be nice. He's such a good rabbi. He's so gentle. He's so nice. He never gets mad, except when he says, "You faithless and perverted generation, how much longer will I have to put up with all of you?" Ah, Jesus. The son begins to convulse, and Jesus commands the demon to come out. We go in these few verses from this otherly, otherworldly, glowing Jesus to the one who draws us right back into true transformation. From brokenness, wholeness. I think Luke is intentional in pairing these two stories together. Because it's easy for us to love the Jesus who goes up to the mountain to pray and hang out with the prophets. And maybe a bit more difficult to apprehend the Jesus who is in our midst, challenging us and reminding us. I think that's why that voice came out of the cloud and said, "This is my son, my beloved. Listen to him." Because he's going to have some words that we didn't want to hear, that are both kind and gentle, but also challenging. In that story of Moses, we hear about the veil being pulled away, and I think that this story begins to pull away our own veil, where we want this Jesus to be super Jesus or buddy Jesus or all kinds of Jesuses, but instead he is the one who comes down from the mountain to be amidst us and then calls us to be that body together. So how will we listen to him in these days? How will we listen to his word and his action and his command? How will we listen to his challenge? How will we be the body of Christ together? And how will new transformation happen through us in the body? It's easy to want those transfiguration experiences, going up on the mountain and getting a new law. It's easy to love a Jesus who glows in the dark. Thank you. The kids got it. But it is less easy and more powerful to live with a God whom we listen to. That we follow, and that we live. Perhaps that is our transfiguration as the body of Christ. That we are called into a life of healing those who are broken and writhing and dashed down by demons, hearing the call of a desperate father. Perhaps our living out and our transfiguration of the world, that veil pulled away to reveal God's glory, happens in our hands and our hearts. Well, you're getting treated to a short sermon because we have about 700 things to do today. So I call on all and on each and every one of us to begin to think about how God is transfiguring in our lives, beyond the hero God, beyond the supernatural, into this called Christ who transfigures our church, our life, our world, and ourselves. Amen.